37th chapter. We'd like to read the first 11 verses of this chapter. Genesis 37, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, and his father observed the saying. Let's stop reading with verse 11. Father, we know we're helpless without the Holy Spirit making your word alive and real in the hearts of those who gather here this morning. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our only hope. And I do pray that you would exalt and magnify him through your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to preach this morning from this chapter and some other chapters concerning Joseph, the dreamer. And that's the title of my message, Joseph, the dreamer. From chapter 37 of Genesis all the way through the end of the book of Genesis, chapter number 50, it's dedicated primarily to Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob. You'll notice Jacob is called Jacob in verse 1. Jacob dwelt in the land when his father was a stranger. And then he's called Israel in verse 3. Those are both his names. God changed his name from Jacob to Israel because he said, "You're a prince with God." And he wrestled with that angel, and I believe God saved him there because he left there and built an altar to the Lord God. But he loved his sons, we are sure of that, but he loved Joseph more than all his children. That includes his youngest son, Benjamin, last one to be born, his 12th son. But Joseph was special. Not only was he special to Jacob, but I believe he's special to those of us who are saved by the grace of God, because in his life we find so many good illustrations, examples of how we as God's children ought to conduct ourselves. But above all, this morning I want to preach to you in the manner that would encourage us to realize that while we don't always understand what's going on in our life, and things can get pretty bleak, God is always in control. Through the good times, as they just sang that song, to the good times and the bad times, on the mountain or in the valley. He's still God. And I believe that's demonstrated very clearly in the life of Joseph. In verse number 2, these are the generations of Jacob. And notice he begins with Joseph. He doesn't begin with Benjamin, who's the youngest, nor does he begin with his oldest son. He begins with Joseph. And he loved him, the Bible says, because he was the son of his old age. We know that it simply means that he was the first son that he had with Rachel, who he loved above Leah. The Bible tells us that too. We don't like that sometimes, but it's a fact. There's a difference in our loves at times, and we need to be careful that it doesn't become a problem. But Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his sons, because he was the first son born to Rachel. Remember, God closed her womb for quite some time. 10 others were born to Jacob before Joseph. But when he was born, he was loved. And his mother called his name, adding, because she said, "The Lord will add to me another son." And he did. Benjamin was born when she was dying. Now, we can't bring all this in, but I want you to notice that Joseph, loved by his father, caused him to be hated by his brethren. There's no other cause appeared in verse number 4. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Does that sound familiar? How many times we see this in the scripture, but primarily in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times did Jesus speak of his father's love for him and his love for his father? Why did the Jews hate him so? Certainly wasn't for all the things that he did, because all he did was good. But they hated him because of who he was, because of he was not ashamed to declare himself to be the only begotten Son of God. And Joseph was the only begotten son of Jacob and Rachel at this point, and he loved him. It caused great envy, and as we read through this, you'll see it just increased with time, become increasingly more severe. His brothers hated him because of his dream, which seemed to indicate that he was going to rule over them. They didn't like that. Why did they kill the Lord Jesus Christ? Why did they have this insignia over his cross, King of the Jews? They knew what he implied by that dream, because it says in verse 8, "And his brethren said to him, Shall thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" Now, we don't like that in the flesh, do we? We want to be our own person and nobody tell us what to do. Nobody have any authority over us, but that's not the real world. But they understood what Joseph was saying in this dream. He was the dreamer. And that's why we title our message, Joseph the Dreamer. In chapter number 37, verse 12, we see that Joseph, at his father's direction, was sent out to seek his brothers and bring the report back how they were doing. Notice in verse 18 of chapter 37, when they saw him, his brothers saw him coming afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to slay him. Sound like Cain and Abel all over again. They conspired to kill him. And they said to, one said to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." Here comes this dreamer again. Verse 20, "Come now therefore and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams." Let's see what happens to his dreams. We'll make his dreams to be nightmares. That was their intention. They intended to kill him. As we consider this, we see that Reuben, who was the oldest and the one responsible actually for the safety of all of his brethren. Verse 21, "Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father. Again, he wanted to take him back to his father. Had good intentions, but if you know this story, and I'm sure most of you do, there's another brother here named Judah. You know, I've read the book of Genesis this week. I read the entire book, and I read some things about Judah that's kind of ugly. And yet, he is the one that God chose. He's the tribe that God would use to bring Christ into the world. He's the chosen tribe. But he's not perfect. Notice, if you would, down at verse 26, they sit down to eat, and the Bible says, Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? What are we going to gain by that? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh, and his brethren were content. And they sold Joseph, the Bible says, further in verse 28, for 20 pieces of silver. Does that sound familiar? Now, Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Reuben returned to the pit in verse 29. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes and returned to his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? They took Joseph's coat, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. They sent a coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Can you even imagine conspiring against your own brother? Now, I know there's a lot of envy in family at times, a lot of differences, but can you even imagine conspiring and determining to kill your brother and then being talked out of that, saying, well, we'll make some money out of it? This is not pretty, folks, but this is Bible. This is the truth. And they sold him for 20 pieces of silver and then lied to their own father to cover up their sin. Verse 34 says, Jacob rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. They had to watch that. Deceitful. This is God's chosen earthly people. We don't always, you know, the Bible tells us, and God told Israel, my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts, saith the Lord. Now that's just so many words unless you start applying it to your own life. And that's the purpose of this message this morning. We need to know the God that we serve. We need to know that He doesn't always explain everything to us. But we do need to know that no matter what happens, He's caring for us. And while things may look bad, very bad, and it may get worse, He's still on the throne. And I don't believe there's a better illustration in the Bible of this than Joseph, the 10th son of Israel. Sold him for 20 pieces of silver, lied to their father, watched their father grieve. He couldn't be comforted. Verse 35, all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Had to watch that. How deceitful. How hateful of these brothers to do this. God sometimes uses even our hateful natures to bring about His will. He uses us as individuals when He has a greater purpose. And we know in the life of Joseph that God had a great purpose. And all these things happening, God's doing something. I don't think Joseph understood it. I know his brothers didn't understand it. I know his father didn't understand it. His mother was dead at this point. But what a great grief they committed to bring about the will of God. Do you realize that God's will is working in your life? And I know you don't understand it. I don't understand it. There's so many things in my life I can't explain. So many things I would like to have answers to at times. I don't never get an answer. But one thing we know, we serve a God who is in control. He could not be God. He would not be God if he did not control all things. And he tells us that repeatedly in the scriptures. Now we're going to go to chapter 39, and we'll be kind of brief in some of this, but we want to get to the end of the message. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him and of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither, and the Lord was with Joseph. You know, Joseph may not have understood a lot, and you may not understand a lot, but understand this. The Lord's with you. If you're saved by the grace of God, just have this as your anchor. Have this as what you can lay hold of. When things are bleak and when things look so bad, Jacob's dream has turned into a nightmare. He thought he was going to rule over his brethren according to his own dream. He was going to be exalted even above his father. But where is he now? He's down in the house of an Egyptian, far from home, far from his brothers. And it's almost like a nightmare, sold into slavery. The Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him. Find comfort in that. Be a witness. The world can see. They're not blind. They may act like they're not blind. His master saw the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. Not only was the Lord with him, but even his master. He found grace in his sight. He served him and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had put into his hand. What's happened to Joseph's dream? Where's the dreamer now? Well, far from home, cut off from his father that loved him, and he loved his father, and he loved his younger brother, Benjamin. He even loved those that hated him. But it gets worse. Those of you that read this know that it gets worse. Because Potiphar had a wife, and she was devious and deceitful and wicked. And she kept looking at Joseph, casting her eyes upon him, as the Bible puts it, tempting him to sin with her, chasing him relentlessly. Verse 10 says, day by day, every day, she presented herself to him, pressing him. She lied Joseph right into prison. But notice verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. Again, I preach this message because I know there's a lot of confusion right now in our life. There's a lot of mystery, a lot of things we don't understand. As I said in an earlier message, I can't even identify with this generation at times. I'm too old. I mean, I came from a time that's so different from this. But I have to adapt and I have to adjust anyway. But one thing should be, something stable in our life should be the Lord's with us. No matter what comes. It doesn't matter what our leaders do. It doesn't matter in one regard. I know it matters as far as our nation is concerned, but beloved, as far as our peace is concerned, as far as our assurance is concerned, the Lord will be with us no matter what happens. He goes from being sold as a slave, serving a man in his house, certainly been given control over everything he has. Now he's in prison. But notice, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Can you identify with that? It doesn't matter, folks. As Paul says in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, the whole world can be against us. That's the reason he puts it that way is because it doesn't matter if the whole world's against us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Notice verse 22, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did, there he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And that he did, the Lord made it to prosper. That which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You know, we talk of faith, as the song says, when we're up on the mountain. Talk comes so easy when things are at their best. But down in the valley, and we have our valleys. You have your valleys. I have my valleys. We have times of confusion. We have times where we say, Lord, why is this happening? I've tried to serve you. I've tried to be faithful. Why are you letting this happen to me? Can you even imagine what Joseph must have felt when his dream became nightmares one after another? But in every case, God is with him. And even in prison, he's given control of all the prisoners. And the keeper of the prison just turns it over to him. Then, of course, we have the incident of the two dreamers in chapter number 40 who had their dreams. And we're not going to get into the details of that, but Joseph showed the meaning of those dreams. And he reminds them, especially the one that was going to be delivered. The Bible says, he reminded them, when you're lifted out of this place, remember me. Well, did he remember him? No. Verse 23, chapter 40, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Don't expect the world, beloved. Don't rest on the promises of the world or your expectation of what the world can do for you. That's why our nation is in such a mess. People are expecting men to deliver us. They've turned away from God as Israel did. And I believe God is visiting this nation because of our neglect of Him. Don't expect the world to be your friend. Jesus said, they're your enemy. And I know we need to get along with the world. We need to love as much as in us is the world. Not in the wrong way, but as Jesus loved them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They're in so much ignorance. But let's go on. Verse 1, chapter 41, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Now I tried to sit down and calculate, how old is Joseph at this point? Now, he was about 17 when all this started, and several years have happened. He's been taken from his brethren down into Egypt. He's served in Potiphar's house. That ended up in prison. He served in the prison, delivered this one man from being killed by Pharaoh, and now 2 other years have expired. And he still not realized his dream. Nobody bowing to Joseph. Joseph's bowing to everybody else. Their whims, their wants, and even in that, what's he doing? He's serving them. He's making their case much better. Isn't that what God in his word teaches us we ought to be doing? We're not to love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But beloved, we can still be a servant to the Lord in the sense that we can be a blessing to them. We have the word of God. We have the gospel. We have so much that we can give the world if we remember who we're serving and we keep the attitude of Joseph. He had the right attitude. Now Pharaoh dreams a dream. Verse 1. And of course, again, I can't spend a lot of time on this. You know, it's hard to preach all this in one message. If I had about four messages, I could do this much more justice. But Pharaoh finds out through the chief baker about a man who could interpret dreams. Verse 13. It came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored to mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. The nightmare is about ready to come to an end. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I've dreamed a dream, and there's none that can interpret it, and I've heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. But notice Joseph's reply in verse 16 of chapter number 41. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Oh, give us the attitude of Joseph in all that we do and say. May we recognize where the power is, where the understanding is, where the deliverance is, who is really taking care of us. May we understand that in every condition, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Now let's go to chapter 42. You know the story that the famine that Pharaoh dreamed about. You add to what I've just said another 7 years because there's been 7 years of plenty. Pharaoh's dream is coming true. But now they're 2 years into the plague, into the dearth. So another 9 years added on to Jacob's life, or Joseph's life. Where's his dream? Oh, he's now been made head over Egypt, and he's been honored and exalted, but where's his brethren? Chapter 42, verse 1, now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? And said, behold, I have heard that there's corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy us from thence that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. They came to buy corn. And corn was their desire. But notice what happens. Verse 7, same chapter, 42. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them. You ever read the scripture in John chapter 10? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He saw his brethren, and he knew them. But made himself strange unto them and spake roughly to them. And he said unto them, whence come you? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. We were studying in Sunday school this morning about Mary Magdalene when she came to the tomb and Jesus' body was gone. And she was frantic and she was weeping and she was upset. And they ask, whom seek you? And then she sees the Lord. And she expresses to him her concern. If you carried his body away, show me and I'll take it. And he said, Mary. That's all he said. And she said, Rabboni. That is to say, Master. All she heard was his voice. Jacob knew his brethren, but they knew him not. You know, when you were lost, the Lord knew you, if you're saved, because you were one of his sheep. He knew you. You didn't know him. I didn't know the Lord, but he knew me. And he called me. As he called to Mary, he called my name. And we respond to that call because he is the good shepherd. And when he calls, we hear his voice. And we respond. Now, I know you may think I'm getting that far afield, but there's so much in the life of Joseph, representative of Christ and redemption. There's so much here that will help us to understand. His brethren did not know him at all. They did not recognize him. Verse 9, Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and he said unto them, ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land are you come. And they said unto him, nay, my Lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land you are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. Oh my. He shouldn't let that slip. But he did. We know that was the purpose of God. You know, here is a case, an occasion where Joseph is not like Christ. He gets a little turn of Adam in him, if I can state it that way. That old nature kind of raises its ugly head, and he remembers those dreams, and he said, you said you won't bow down to me, and I'm kind of injecting this myself, but I think you can understand. He spoke roughly to them. He did not say, Father, forgive them. They know what they do. Now, he would eventually, but right now, he wants to get his pound of flesh. Now, the dream of Joseph has come true. Here's his brethren, all of them, except Benjamin. He begins to toy with his brothers. And then he begins to desire and demand that they bring Benjamin. He wants to see his true full brother, Benjamin, the other son of Rachel that God promised her. Now we're going to go to chapter 45. After toying with them, sending them back with their sacks full and putting their money back in their sacks and making them feel terrible, I do want to read this because it's important. Because Reuben reminds them of what they had done, if I can find it real quickly. And I can't, so. But he reminded them, didn't I tell you we should not have done this? But now in chapter 45, after toying with them, after putting them through torment, after requiring Judah to become a surety and stay there while I go after Benjamin. Chapter 45, verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. What a wonderful verse. When the Lord saved you, You know what he did? He made himself known to you. Oh, you knew about Jesus. You'd heard about him. You'd been to school. You knew all those things in Sunday school. But you didn't know the Lord. Because, beloved, when you know the Lord, it becomes so personal. There's so much preaching today, it just passes off. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. They have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea what the gospel is preaching. You must be personally acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to the end of yourself. You must know Him as a Savior. He must be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit of God. You must be born again, Jesus told Nicodemus. Joseph could not refrain himself. Verse 2, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? You know, I came from a large family. I can really get into that. Can you imagine what a shock it must have been to hear, I'm Joseph. Doth my father yet live? His brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. Now notice this verse, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So it was not you. Now notice this. It was not you that sent me hither, but God. Can you apply that to your life? The things that happen. God's in control, folks. He controls our lives. He is our heavenly Father. Jesus gave so many examples. If a man asks a fish, will he give him a scorpion? If you, being men, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? God is in control of our lives. And though it may be bleak, and though it may be like a nightmare, and may seem like everything's going wrong, you trusted the Lord, you thought things are going to be peachy cream from here. But you soon find out that you still got a life to live. You still got temptations to endure. You still got problems to go through. You still have to learn what it means to really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have trials in your life that you don't know how to handle. But if you have this anchor, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land. One other place. Turn, if you would, to chapter number 50, after Jacob dies. And I know this may seem like a shotgun message because it's hard to really cover all this like I'd like to. Verse 16, Jacob's now dead. The brothers in verse 16, they sent a messenger to Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren. They still haven't got over it. They still got a bad conscience about it, even though Joseph has told them. But notice, and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants, of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. His dream is fully realized. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. What a God we serve. What an example he's given us in the book of Genesis. Dedicated many chapters. I can't cover all this in one message. He dedicated a lot of words to recording the life and the incidents in Joseph's life that it might encourage and help you to understand. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You see, God has purposes. We don't always understand it, but God has purposes. And the things that happen are for a purpose. As bad as they might seem, as distraught as you may become, as much as you may weep, as bitter, even to get angry with God at times. Circumstances can bring you to the end of yourself, but remember this, have this anchor. God sent him there. Put that in your life as an anchor to your soul. No matter what happens, God let it happen. God wanted it to happen. God sent it to you. The question is, how are you going to handle it? You'll get all puffed up, take care of it yourself, or are you going to humble yourself before the Lord and be a Joseph? We need some Josephs. We need some people that are willing to accept the things that come into their life. It'll make you a better person. It'll make you a better servant of God. It'll make you a better Christian. It'll make you a better church member. It'll make you a benefit to mankind and to your family and to everyone. God used this message to comfort His people. Bow your heads. Father, thank you for your word. We know we tried to cover a lot of territory. I pray you just use it to glorify Christ, our Redeemer. Jacob, or Joseph, was a dreamer, but he became a Redeemer. And God used him. Christ is our Redeemer. May you help us to serve Him acceptably until He comes. Amen.